You may have heard that a Sydney man died over the weekend after being tasered and sprayed with capsicum spray. It's causing some people who think about law and order policy to shift in their chairs a bit, get a bit uncomfortable about any further use of these devices. Now, one state, Victoria, this has been a cause that's been taken up by the Law Institute of Victoria. They've called for an overhaul of current policy use on the tasers, and other organisations in New South Wales have called for a moratorium. I'm joined now by the Law Institute of Victoria's president-elect. His name is Rainer Tang, and he's in the studio right now. Hi there, Rainer.
Thank you, Wally.
Thanks for coming in. Your organisation, of course, is saying that we should suspend the rollout of tasers in Victoria because the police are in the process of using them in Victoria. They haven't before. They do use them in New South Wales. Do you support a moratorium in New South Wales?
Absolutely. So they are actually being used in Victoria at the moment, but the plan is to roll them out to all operational police. And that's what we're saying should stop.
Why, though? Is it a result in response to this news over the weekend?
No, we've been holding that position consistently. Tasers are meant to be a non-lethal alternative to the use of firearms, but are actually resulting in deaths. We've seen now over 500 deaths in the US and coming up to 5 deaths in Australia. So we think as a result of that, there needs to be a review of the health risks that are posed by tasers.
But merely saying that there have been deaths that are taser-related doesn't say that they're not necessarily a non-lethal alternative. There might be some instances where there are fatalities. But in order to demonstrate that we're worse off having them, you would have to show that in each of those cases, there wouldn't have been a fatality without the taser. That is, police wouldn't have reached for the guns. And that they, on the flip side, haven't saved lives. That there haven't been circumstances where firearms haven't been used as a result and people have lives have been saved. Now, are you really in a position to show that?
We're not in a position to show that. What we are saying is the medical evidence is incomplete and we need the studies to be able to prove one way or the other what the effects are, and particularly on high-risk groups such as the young, the elderly, people with mental illnesses and the drug and alcohol affected, such as the case in New South Wales.
I mean, you can call for that research, but in the meantime, if tasers are really effective, and that is they're effective in saving lives because of that non-lethal alternative, that's what police are saying, and they're saying it consistently, how long are you prepared to wait for that evidence? Because what might end up happening is that a whole lot of lives that could have been saved don't get saved.
Well, as I said earlier, in Victoria, tasers are already being used by specialist groups within the police force, and so we don't see any problem with that continuing. They're under very strict guidelines as to when they use them. It's more of a rollout to a wider group of people that might not have the same training and same rigour around the use of the tasers.
Now, you're the president-elect of the Law Institute of Victoria, therefore you are a lawyer.
Yes.
Do you think that legislative design around tasers is something that can, will it satisfy you, for instance? Is it something you can deal with in law?
No, I think it's all about how they're using operations and how you're identifying the people that are at risk of death from taser use and the ones who aren't. And the problem is that, obviously, when you're in a confrontational situation, it's very hard to make those decisions on the spot. So lots of training, lots of evidence about what the effects are is needed before we would support a widespread use of these tasers.
So how long would it take for you to be satisfied? How much research?
Well, it depends on how much research has been done to date. We understand there has been some work done within Victoria Police, but those reports haven't been made available.
Just the event on the weekend, do you think that the calls for moratorium, the suspensions that are reacting to that, are they a bit premature in this case, given we don't really know what happened? I mean, we know there's a fatality. We know that taser was used. We know capsicum spray was used. We don't know much more. We don't know how many times they were tasered, what sort of threat they were posing, whether or not there would have been a recourse to firearms if in the event that tasers weren't available. Should we just wait before we comment too much on all that?
Well, I think obviously we can see that there is now, as I said, this is the fifth incident in Australia and there's a lot more overseas. I don't know to what extent the Victoria Police has looked at the evidence from overseas.
Mm. Well, I'll ask that in a moment. I'll be speaking with Deputy Commissioner Kieran Walsh in a moment.
If we are seeing evidence of people dying and this is meant to be a non-lethal alternative, it does suggest that it does need more examination.
Now, you've looked specifically at limiting the use of tasers around people who are young, people who are affected with drugs and alcohol. Why is that?
Well, the studies seem to suggest that those people are at higher risk, but we don't know to what extent they're at higher risk. There's also pregnant people and other categories.
But if you limit the use in that way, isn't that a bit problematic? You're dealing with, you say you don't want to use it on young people or people who are drug or alcohol affected. Aren't these exactly the kinds of people that the police would be thinking about?
Yes, and the other category is mentally ill, and one of the studies, I think, by the OPI showed that 85% of the use by the specialist forces was actually on people with some form of mental illness. Now, if those people are at higher risk, then you need to look at other alternative methods, non-lethal methods of dealing with those situations.
Okay. Well, let's follow up on this, Rana Tang. Thanks very much for coming in. I really appreciate your time and giving us your views.
Thank you.
It's the Law Institute of Victoria's President-elect Rana Tang. Now, I should point out we did seek comment from the New South Wales Assistant Police Commissioner, Alan Clark, on this. The event over the weekend was, of course, in his jurisdiction. He's declined to comment, but listening into that conversation was the Victorian Deputy Police Commissioner, Kieran Walsh. He's in charge of a rollout of tasers in Victoria. Kieran Walsh, thanks very much for joining us on RN Drive.
Yeah, my pleasure, Wally.
Now, as you've just heard there, this is the fourth or fifth fatality that's associated with tasers in Australia. Is it really open to police any longer to be arguing that tasers are a non-lethal alternative?
Look, we've taken note of the issues that and the research that's it's been around, particularly overseas. We've taken note of the incidents that have occurred in Australia. There's no evidence to say that the taser device itself was the cause of those fatalities. We need to await the outcomes of any learnings that come out of any inquests or coronial inquiries that may take place at some point in time into the future. And in preparing our pilot that we've run now for 18 months at both Bendigo and Morwell, we took note of the incidents and the documentation from the United States.
So how did you evaluate all of that? Because as we've just heard, 500 or so taser-related deaths. Now, I know you're saying there are issues around determining the cause of death, but nonetheless, that's a big figure.
Well, look, that's the data that's out there. We've looked at that. We have to weigh it up in what we see is a risk, and how we equip our members to be able to deal with critical incidents. Now, our members deal with critical incidents every day of the week, hundreds of them each year. Fortunately, in the vast majority of those critical incidents, they are resolved without the recourse to any use of force whatsoever. We've gone into a very focused training regime around our operational tactical safety training, around de-escalation, around such as cordon, contain, verbal communication, provide time to be able to de-escalate and resolve without the recourse to use of force. But unfortunately, in some circumstances, that sort of strategy does not achieve the outcome that we're looking for.
But isn't the issue that you give police something like this, which is connected to fatalities in some instances, and at the very least isn't a pleasant experience? I mean, it does inflict something serious, like a lot of voltage to people. You equip them with this, and then there is the risk that they're going to get, well, for want of a better word, trigger happy about it.
Well, I would argue very, very strongly that cannot happen in Victoria Police. We have extremely tight guidelines around the use of these devices.
The guidelines don't stop human behaviour. Yeah,
no, but hang on, let me finish, please.
Okay.
We have very strict guidelines about when they can be used. They can only be used as the absolute last alternative prior to the use of a firearm. There must be clear evidence of risk to the member, risk of serious injury to the member, or the person that's creating the situation, or another member of the public. These devices have a significant accountability mechanisms built into them. We use taser cam on our devices, so as soon as the device is turned on, as soon as power is turned onto the device, the camera starts to record, and we have audio and video recording of every interaction and every communication that is undertaken after that is turned on.
Is that attached to all the tasers that the police currently have?
Yes.
Even right across the country?
I'm not a matter of right across the country, but I'm talking about Victoria.
Now, is this the new double-barreled taser that I'm reading about?
No, it's not a double-barrel. I don't know where people get this idea. It's a double-barrel. It has two cartridges. It's not a double barrel. All it is a device, the same technology as the other device that we use, but it provides two cartridges in these circumstances. Now, our people undergo a significant training, and I think the fact that we've been running this using a device in a pilot trial in both Bendigo and Morwell for 18 months, and there has been no evidence whatsoever of misuse. We have a high-level executive review panel, which I chair with other assistant commissioners and an external member to that panel. And every time a taser is presented, when I say presented, that means when it's withdrawn from its holster and switched on, we review that circumstance. We look at the audio, or listen to the audio, and look at the video. And at every occasion to date, there has been clear evidence that members have complied both with policy guidelines and their training.
There are, of course, there are other examples. I mean, the one that I think has every reason to shake public confidence is the Philip Bugmy case, which you may have heard about. This was a man who was tasered while on his knees with his hands behind his head. A magistrate recently acquitted him of any offence, partly because the evidence that was gathered at that point was deemed inadmissible. Are you saying that the video function on these new taser devices is enough to overcome that?
Yes, absolutely. And even the devices that are being used in Victoria Police at this point in time, the video and audio, that's what it's there for. That's why we've insisted that we have that form of accountability there, so that independent people can sit back and look at it and evaluate the performance of the police members in the critical incident and how the device has been used or presented, and to ensure that presentation, that use, complies with our policy, our guidelines, and the training.
Now, the issue that took place in New South Wales over the weekend, where you did have a fatality, it was not just being tasered, it was also the use of capsicum spray. Have you done any research onto the use of tasers in combination with other things like capsicum spray?
The only thing that we've looked at in relation to capsicum spray is to make sure that it is a water-based spray and not the alcohol-based spray.
But nonetheless, if you're going to have police armed with both, you're going to need to understand how they interact, aren't you?
Well, we do need to do that, but we're confident that we have done sufficient investigation around that. We have a series of options that our people can employ when they get involved in confronted with a critical incident. And the first option is what we're asking, we train our people to do, is around verbal communication. It's about cordon, contain, create space to de-escalate. If they can't do that, then they have a range of options. And the first of those options, of course, is the use of OC spray. In some circumstances, OC spray is not appropriate because of the weather conditions or the wind conditions, and members then have got the next option where they have access to the taser device. They have that particular option, and as I said before, they can only use that as the absolute last resort, the last alternative prior to having to resort to the use of a firearm.
Do you have different guidelines for different people that you're apprehending? So, for example, younger people, people with less body mass who will be affected differentially?
No, the guidelines are very specific that this is the absolute last option that needs to be considered prior to the use of a firearms in a situation that is aggressive, that is hostile, that is posing a risk to the health, well-being or serious injury to the member, to the individual that is causing the situation, or to any other member of the public. And if those criteria are present, well, then the members then are entitled to use the device.
Kieran Walsh, I appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Wally.
Victorian Police Deputy Commissioner Kieran Walsh there, who's, of course, in charge of the rollout of tasers in Victoria. 9 minutes to the top of the clock.